Now, I know that today's podcast, you're going to find shocking. Shocking from the standpoint that downtown Portland, after it went through the entire summer of love, basically gave the city up to Antifa and Black Lives Matter domestic terrorism. After all that, summer of love, just, you know, things were great. Well, got a little problem. Downtown Portland's office vacancy rate is the highest in the nation. Huh, what's going on? What happened? Thought it was going to be the greatest time ever. Not so much, right? Let's get into it. Let's see what's going on in Portland. Here we go. There's a related video that I think highlights some of the issues that downtown Portland is facing. Here we go.
And while we're talking about Multnomah County, let's get to some of your thoughts about solutions for getting people back downtown in Portland. On yesterday's show, we told you about a widely cited study that showed downtown's foot traffic recovery is actually better than initially thought, but, you know, still not great. The city ranks fifth to last among 66 large cities, two spots ahead of Seattle. Thank you very much. And more than two dozen business leaders in downtown sent a letter to elected leaders demanding more be done to help downtown recover. They sent a list of solutions that we told you about last night, and then we asked for your solutions. And let's just say, there certainly was a common theme among your comments.
Pat, it's not rocket science. Downtown is a drug-riddled dump. And until those changes for Measure 110 happen, or we fully repeal Measure 110, and we do away with all the drug addicts and homelessness, then it's going to continue to hamper downtown's usage and growth.
And Linda wrote to us, pretty simple in my book, we need to clean up the homeless drug using population out of the area so that people feel safe to walk on the sidewalks. Until then, I will only rarely go near downtown. The downturn over the past years is appalling.
I'm a big advocate of downtown. I try to go down and partake of the businesses and go to shows and I got to say, this last Sunday I was down there and wanted to walk a few bridges and just go on a stroll. And the entire time I was in fear. I was constantly looking over my shoulder. I felt really uncomfortable. It's like walking around in an open air psych ward or a prison yard or something. You never know what's going to come up on you or somebody passing you, and you see these homeless. I saw people with hammers and machetes. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not good. And how about this from Ted? Improvement of downtown could be increased if the support for the homeless people could be removed from town center and be available to homeless camps provided by a city in outlying areas. Take away the convenience of in-town support and provide it elsewhere. This county and city must have a vast amount of property that could be used.
I love the commentator. That's not good. Guy's talking about a machete. He's got a machete going on. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen, you know, instances of machetes all day long because, you know, a machete isn't exactly a gun. You might have one to, I don't know, write your name in the concrete sidewalk with your machete. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, until you get those issues squared away, your downtown cores are going to suffer. Seattle's is suffering. And this is on top of that whole work from home deal, right? Don't need the space, but what's occupying the space, particularly in Portland right now, and in San Francisco as well, but not as much. San Francisco's homeless, whacked out population is relegated more to the Tenderloin, whereas the financial district with all the vacancies is a little bit to the north and a little bit to the east. So yeah, you've got some Portland's, you know, smaller, big town, big city. And it's got some absolute issues that until leadership takes care of those and really owns up to the problems they've created. You saw Measure 110. That's the one that made everything. Just make everything legal. It should work out. War on drugs was a failure. Well, so is Measure 110. And they're trying to work out a way to repeal that. Meanwhile, people aren't renting office space in downtown Portland. Let's read the article. Portland Central City had the highest office vacancy rate of the 50 largest downtown office markets in the country by the end of last year, according to a report by real estate firm Colliers. The office vacancy rate in Portland's Central Business District, which includes downtown, Old Town, and the Pearl District, had reached 30.2% by the end of 2023, Colliers reported. That's up from 26.6% during the same time period a year earlier. The figure does not include the Lloyd District and Eastside High-Rise Office District. People in Portland want to say, well, that's because you included a section of our downtown that really isn't our downtown. We shouldn't have that attributed. So some people are saying, yeah, but it's the way that you're, you know, attributing this building's in this part of Portland. Well, bottom line is, you heard the shenanigans. The shenanigans, they're ongoing, right? So until you get some of that squared away, or all of it squared away, I'm not going to resolve this. And that's what makes this whole thing so wild from the standpoint, until you start to address drug addiction, you start to address mental issues, you address a population that's living on the streets and has both of those other two things, mental issues and drug addictions, you address the crime factor associated with those lifestyles, meaning robbing from the community, robbing from the local business community, robbing from the community in general, from their homes, their apartments, their condos, whatever it might be. Still, till you start to address some of those things, people aren't going to want to have businesses in your downtown core, right? They're working from home. They've been working from home. A lot of big companies are realizing we can save a lot of money here. Why don't we just keep going down that road? So you got to make the downtown core nice and appealing, and people want to go there. You heard the one guy, he's like, it was appalling. Yeah, when somebody's walking around with a machete that is literally mentally unstable, that's not exactly the environment most reasonable people want to be involved with. That's called shenanigans, right? It just straight up is. Jameson Shields, a research analyst with Colliers, said the amount of empty office space in downtown Portland is expected to continue to rise as leases expire and those spaces hit the market. According to Colliers, more than 1.4 million square feet of office space in downtown Portland was available for sublease at the end of 2023. The total of available amount of space for lease downtown was more than 32%. Colliers expects that figure to reach 40% over the next year. This is in almost lockstep with San Francisco, who suffered many of the same issues. But what differentiates San Francisco and Portland is Portland had the crazy summer of love, and all of that happened in their downtown core. A lot of it happened literally at the front, the western side of their federal building. I mean, it was right there. You had a mayor who basically said, we love Antifa, we love domestic terrorism, therefore we're going to, you know, have Black Lives Matter and Antifa co-opt these events where they're going to try and destroy the city over the course of 150 nights in the summer of love. Yeah. And to anybody who didn't think that would have long-lasting repercussions, this is one of them. You're looking at it. You're listening to me read about it. It's like, oh, actions, consequences. Got to remember that. Got to remember that. All right, we'll just see how this works out. Mayor Ted's down at, he's down with the soccer moms as they're getting ready to fire torch a federal building. We're predicting vacancies to continue climbing into 2025, Shield said. Unlike other markets that are starting to see a turnaround. There you go. Because they didn't have the extra it factor, right? Which is you've got lunatics running the asylum in the form of Mayor Ted. And Mayor Ted has literally come right out and said, I don't know what to do here. I just don't know what to do. They've had so many poor ideas being implemented, trying to, you know, figure out which way is up. So thinking to have more vacancies going into 2025, Shield said that there's been some demand for downtown Class A office buildings, which generally represent the highest quality buildings in the market. So But vacancy in such buildings remains high at 32.5%. All right. So Class A, 32.5%. What are companies doing? All right. So we need a presence in downtown Portland. for whatever reason. Maybe it's a regional thing. Maybe it's a supply chain factor deal. Who knows? Who cares? But if you're going to have to be in Portland, why not get a deal on Class A space? That's the good stuff, right? That's the good stuff. None of this Class C just, you know, ugh, that's not hoity-toity enough. That's not nice enough. It's interesting how much, you know, difference between Class A and Class B, Class C office space. You know, your rent just goes down dramatically. And unless you have a super high-profile company, you don't need the Class A space, but everybody wants it because then they think that their manhood just grows exponentially, right? It's so dumb. It's so dumb. But there's, you know, a lot of factors in life that have that same thing. You got a Ferrari? Okay. All right. You are truly a man. All right. So here we go. Here we go. Portland, 30.2%. Now, we've talked about San Francisco's overall vacancy rate being like 37.1, I think it was at last count, and that one heading to 40% for sure. What we're talking about here is a limited, like downtown financial district type delineation. That's why these numbers are a little bit different than what we normally talk about. So Portland leading the pack at 30.2%, with San Francisco coming behind 29%. San Diego next at 29, Silicon Valley 28.2, LA 26.6, Houston 25.7, Denver 25.6, DFW 25.5, St. Louis 24.4, and Seattle bringing up the tail end, number 10, 24.2. 24.2 looks like child's play compared to 30.2 Portland's dealing with. Now, we've known that Portland's on the struggle bus, because Portland's just got so many factors, including that whole pesky fentanyl deal, right? I mean, when you just allow people to live wherever the F they want, and, you know, just tents galore, fentanyl, you name it, garbage, lunatics running around, people don't want to run businesses there. They don't want to have their employees exposed. They don't want to have their management exposed. They don't want to be around that. So they're like, no, I don't think so. Yeah, not so much. Whereas other cities are starting to see some of the impacts of all of this, the work from home, all of that, start to finally kind of turn a corner. So CBRE, another real estate firm, reported that Portland's downtown office vacancy was the sixth highest in the country at 29.7, although the numbers differ slightly to each firm's definition of what counts as the downtown area. That's kind of the big kicker, right? The vacancy rates are similar. The impact of fewer people working in downtown offices can be felt by restaurants and retailers whose businesses benefit from visitors and pedestrian traffic. Portland Metro Chamber, until recently known as the Portland Business Alliance, they said its numbers for February, the most recent data available, showed it remained 35% below the same month in 2020. So it has not recovered. Has not recovered. And that is true of most big metropolitan cities haven't recovered. That's because we went through that whole, hey, everybody's going to work from home forever. You're going to love it. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. A lot of people do enjoy working from home, just not all the time. So you've got this deal where you know, people are going into the office, but businesses are requiring so much less space. Because take, for example, and this is the one I always talk about, Amazon in Seattle has said, all right, we know that you love to work from home, do your laundry on lunch break, whatever, but we're going to need you back in the office 3 days a week. So employees can kind of pick which 3 days a week they want to work. And it has had, I was having a conversation, who was I having that with, on traffic. It was somebody I didn't know very well, and we were talking just about traffic in general and what that looked like, because the whole Amazon thing has changed so dramatically. Traffic flow. So on Mondays and Fridays, don't have as many people as Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because those are typically the days of the week that Amazon employees and other companies are doing the same thing in downtown. All that being said, you just need way less space in downtown. So there's this long fuse on the absorption rate of all these cities with their office space downtown. And some of them are slowly, slowly coming back. Not Portland. It's going in the wrong direction. And I think also San Francisco would fall into that category as well. But that's because so many of the businesses, with the exception of AI, so many of the businesses in a San Francisco environment, they are literally 100% capable of working from home because so much of it is technology driven, right? So you got that. Shield said that the three big issues that he hears from downtown businesses include public safety. Yeah, I don't want to get whacked by that guy with the hammer or the guy with the machete, right? Don't want to have that happen. That's not on my list of things to do today. Go to Portland, get assaulted. Not on the list. So we got public safety. We've got crime. Okay, it kind of goes along with public safety. Yep. Lack of cleanliness. Oh, hey now. That's a nice way of saying the degenerate drug addicts living willy-nilly doing shenanigans wherever the F they want throughout Portland. You're going to have to crack down on that. Man, I know Portland has tried to do that. Okay, you can't camp here. You can't camp here. You can't camp there. But where are those people going to go? People don't magically just disappear. It's not like Soylent Green. You know what I mean? That's not a thing. That's not really a thing. That was a movie, by the way. That was fiction. I know a lot of you think that that's real life, but yeah. So we got lack of cleanliness and high taxes. Huh. You're saying, let me get this straight. You're saying that if in a city with high taxes versus a city that has lower taxes, say any city in Texas, any city in, you know, Florida, you're saying that people are going to want to not work in Portland versus those? Companies are not going to want to take space down in Portland over those? Oh, yeah. Remember the whole tax Amazon in Seattle? How'd that work out? Not that great for Seattle. And I don't blame the city of Seattle. I don't blame Amazon for saying, you know, giving the big bird to Amazon and saying, go take your tax Amazon. And that was a real communist move on the part of Seattle City Council. You had Shama Sawant, who's literally straight up socialist. And during her tenure, she passed a bunch of those because, you know, workers of the world unite and all that crap. So we've got public safety, crime, lack of cleanliness, and high taxes have made the city among the most expensive taxing districts in the nation. Yeah. So you got all these taxes to run the city, and the city's been run just into the ground. What are you going to do there? What are you going to do? What are you going to do to make a comeback? Yeah, you're going to have some major change-ups. You know what? With current politicians, because the citizenry of Portland voted these kind of numbnuts into office, this is what you get for, you know, and keep voting blue. Just keep doing that road. It'll be fine. You'll just, you know, it'll work out one day, that 45th attempt of the exact same thing. That's known as the definition of something. I can't remember what that is. It crazy? Yeah, right? Even though office vacancies are high and climbing, asking rents for downtown offices continue to increase, Shield said. He said rates are increasing because of rising operational costs. Yeah. Including higher utility bills, payroll, people cost more. You know, your Big Mac's going to cost $25 here pretty soon. Because, you know, that whole, let's give them all a big raise. So you got payroll, you got insurance costs, insurance going through the roof. I mean, whose insurance hasn't just taken that exponential rise? Even if it's just your car insurance costs and property taxes. And that's on top of the base rent to a base rate to just rent out the space. All of those are extras. And as a tenant, I just got my list of how much stuff is going to go up for the year. And they base it on past year expenses, try and prorate and figure out how much it is, and they pass them along to the tenants. So when you've got a situation where all of the expenses are going through the roof, tenants are going to have to pay. And if they're already paying a base rate that is higher than elsewhere, they may reconsider, you know, having office space in Portland. And that's exactly what's happening. All of these factors are working into a situation. So, for example, nearly $40 per square foot, it's about 11% increase from a year earlier. 40 a foot for Class A. Okay. But at the end of the day, you're stuck in Portland, right? As a business, which some might consider good. You know, if you're a you're a brewery, although breweries have taken it, they've had a tough go. Independent brewers, tough go. I mean, what other business are we going to run in? In downtown Portland, any business could be run there. But if, you know, your office space is outrageous and you've got all these other factors, why wouldn't you go elsewhere? That's probably what's going on. Rents continue to push upward as the buildings become more expensive to operate and maintain. As long as rents remain highly elevated, the more difficult it'll be to attract tenants. In basic economics, right? Downtown offices are likely to see a turnaround once rents start to decline. All right, what's it going to take to get those rents to go down? Funny you should ask. One way rates can go down is if buildings default on their loans and lenders foreclose. How many podcasts have I done about that in San Francisco? Yeah, quite a few. Why is that happening? Well, you get higher interest rates now because of that whole transitory inflation, right? It'll just be here for a week or two. Years later, it's still here. Got high interest rates. These short-term commercial loans, they got to get rolled over. Property values have dropped because everybody's working from home. Nobody's taking down office space. Vacancy rates have gone through the roof. Expenses are going through the roof. Some, you know, building operators can't make a go of it, so they got to let them go. Then go back to the bank. So one way rates can go down is if building default on their loan and lenders foreclose, Shield said, which could reset the base rate to rent the space. You're talking about going through an apocalypse on the commercial side of things. And that's what a lot of people think will happen, because magically, where are all these new tenants going to come from that are going to take down this space? We've just gone the opposite way of tenants realizing, they don't need the space. They can consolidate because they're only working 3 days a week in the office. Maybe, and that's on a best case scenario. A lot of folks have just said, you know, we can go out to the burbs because that's where our folks are working, take down a much smaller space. And the burbs office space is doing just fine because there's so much less of it. And that's literally where people are working, right? He said the firm has found that 9.8% of the downtown office inventory, or roughly 23 buildings, has gone back to the lender since 2020. What's a normal rate of default in downtown Portland? For a year. That's not that long. So 23 buildings in the last, call it, 4 years. All right. How many buildings total you got? I'm just throwing out ideas here. Is that a lot? That's the bottom line. I'm not sure. I'm the first one to say, I don't know when it comes to something like that, because otherwise I'm pulling out a number and going, that's really high. I don't know. I don't know what would be normal. But what I do know is that I'm reading a lot of stories about big buildings, big significant buildings in other parts of the country, most notably San Francisco, that are going back to the lender. Because with the higher rates, you can't refinance existing debt into something that's manageable. And especially considering your income has, you know, just dropped significantly because, you know, companies have gone out of business or companies no longer need the space. And that's, you know, no longer needing the space is some of the big kicker of what's going on. So if you're thinking about going to downtown Portland, I'd say go for it. See how that dude with the machete's doing. All right. That's it for me on this one. Thanks so much for being here. I'll catch up with you in the next one. Bye for now.